Vertuscarwas County Moravians will be starting at 4 in the afternoon. That is a 7-week series. There'll be a group of kindergartners to sixth graders, and then sixth graders to seniors in high school will be doing a study on justice. A great opportunity with Pastor Cynthia Rader Geyer to learn some more about some biblical justice issues. So if you have not had a chance to sign up to do that, make sure you get a form from Paula in the back to sign up for that as well. CEC will meet Monday night at Zoom on 7 p.m. And don't forget, our next Food on the Fly will be April 14th. So you have the opportunity to support that wonderful ministry as well. That's all I have for announcements at this time. I ask you to stand and please extend the right wave of fellowship. Good morning, everyone. Happy Easter. You may be seated. Our watchword this week comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 20. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have died. Amen. That is an important hymn to start our worship with, because we must remember that joy to the world, the Lord has come. And we know that that hymn is so synonymous with Christmas, but we have to remind ourselves that there can be no Christmas without Easter, without the risen Savior, without his willingness to lay down his life for each and every one of us. At this time, I ask you to stand as we join together in our liturgy for Easter. Please rise. And just a reminder, we will have cantors to sing along with our music as well. And if you want to hum along in your mask, you are welcome to do so as well. The Lord is risen.
The Lord is risen indeed.
Sing this aloud, proclaim it to the ends of the earth.
The Lord has set his people free.
Oh,
the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. By God's great mercy, we are given birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading.
Praise, honor, glory, and power to the one seated on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever.
Jesus was handed over to death for our sins
and was raised to life for our justification.
Then what can separate us from the love of Christ? Can affliction or hardship, can persecution, hunger, nakedness, peril, or sword?
No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Christ who loved us.
For we are convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come,
nor powers, nor heights, nor depths, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Jesus Christ our Lord.
Been buried with him in by baptism into death, so that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life.
For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we will certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his.
We do not live to ourselves, and we do not die to ourselves. If we live, it is for the Lord that we live, and if we die, it is for the Lord that we die.
So whether we live or die, we belong to the Lord, for Christ died, rose from death, and lives again in order to be the Lord of the living and of the dead.
We do not want you to be in any doubt about those who have died, or to grieve over them as others who have no hope.
For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, through Jesus, God will bring with him those who have died.
What we are saying, brothers and sisters, is this: flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God.
Nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable.
What is sown is perishable,
is raised imperishable.
What is sown in dishonor
is raised in glory.
What is sown in weakness
is raised in power.
What is sown a physical body
is raised a spiritual body.
Then the saying that is written will be fulfilled: death has been swallowed up in victory.
Thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ.
Oh, please rise. Sorry. Been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on the things that are of the earth.
For we have died, and our lives are hidden without Christ in God.
God of peace, who brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant,
make us complete in everything good, so that we may do your will, working among us all that is pleasing in your sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen.
You may be seated. We will sing Hallelujah, Praise the Lord, for our final closing hymn today.
Our first scripture reading today comes from the book of Acts, chapter 10, verses 34 through 43. Then Peter began to speak. I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts from every nation the one who fears him and does what is right. You know the message God sent to the people of Israel, announcing the good news of peace through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. You know what has happened throughout the province of Judea, beginning in Galilee after the baptism that John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil, because God was with him. We are witnesses of everything he did in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They killed him by hanging him on a cross, but God raised him from the dead on the third day and caused him to be seen. He was not seen by all the people, but by witnesses whom God had already chosen, by us who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one whom God appointed as judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about him, that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. The gospel lesson is taken from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 16, verses 1 through 8. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome bought spices so that they might go to anoint Jesus' body. Very early on the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they were on their way to the tomb, and they asked each other, "Who will roll the stone away from the entrance of the tomb?" But when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. "Don't be alarmed," he said. "You are looking for Jesus the Nazarene, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter, he is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." Trembling and bewildered, the women went out and fled from the tomb. They said nothing to anyone because they were afraid.
Amen. Thanks be to God. At this time, we now turn our attention to a time of prayer, a time of reflection, and a time of thanksgiving on this Easter. And as part of our Easter celebration, we remember God's promise of eternal life. It comes to us universally, and it comes to us personally. So I'm going to ask those of you in the pews, if you would like to, while I'm sharing these prayer concerns, I'll get to a point where I will share some of our members who have passed in the past 2 years. If you have a family member you would like to remember this year, instead of shouting it out, I'm going to ask you to put it on your whiteboard next to you, and then I'll have you stand and we can share and reflect on some of those names that we've lost in these past 2 years. First and foremost, we start our prayer concerns just with gratitude. We are here We are celebrating. We are worshiping God. We have some of you who are virtually connected to us. But it is so wonderful that we are here in community, and we are here to celebrate a risen Lord and Savior. In our personal prayers this week, we remember prayers of sympathy and resurrection hope to the family of Aretha Baker, who entered the more immediate presence of her Lord and Savior last week. She is the mother-in-law of Paula Drum's older brother Jeff, and a longtime family friend and a longtime missionary to the wider Christian church. And we are grateful to the service of her and her husband. A joy that I can share with you is with Chuck and Erica Dalton. We wish them a congratulations. They found out they will be having a baby girl in August, so we look forward to meeting Ainsley later this summer and getting the opportunity to welcome another child of God into our church family. So congratulations to Chuck and Erica at this time. And now we transition into a time of remembrance, remembering the personal connection to this holy and sacred day. Because when we know that Jesus went to the cross, it was a family affair for the people he cared for and he loved for. So at this time, I'll read the names of two people we have lost in these past 2 years. And we remember that God's gift of resurrection hope has been poured out for them, and it will be poured out for us on our day when we are reunited with our Lord and Savior. So at this time, we remember Linda K. Vonnell and Joe Carl Northrup, two people who touched a lot of hearts in our congregation. At this time, I ask any of you to stand and share any of the dearly departed that you would like to remember over these past 2 years. If you have it written on your whiteboard, you may stand and share that right now. Thank you, Nick. Anyone else have any other they would like to share at this time? All right. Oh, sorry. Absolutely. We remember Naomi in our prayers as well. And I'm sure many of you have prayers of your heart on your hearts of loved ones as well. And I ask that you also keep in prayer 2.8 million COVID deaths that have happened over the past 2 years. And we certainly remember the people who have lost their lives due to COVID. So let us take some time in silent reflection and let us come to God in this time of prayer. Thank you. us come to God in this time of prayer. Gracious God, we come before you in the light of your resurrection hope and love. And what a precious and gracious gift that each one of us have been invited to receive. And we want to say thank you. Thank you for your willingness to go to the cross for each and every one of us. Thank you for being a Savior that lays down his life for the world. And help us to remember what a beautiful and miraculous gift this is. We hear about it so often, and it is so easy to go through the motion. But this miracle is tremendous and life-changing. In Christ, we come before you knowing that you are a personal God who cares for us and loves us. So these prayer concerns that we have lifted, please hold them near and dear to your heart. Those who are sick, those who are awaiting test results, those who have gotten new diagnoses, a new treatment, those who are rehabbing in care facilities, those who are struggling right now, those who are afflicted by COVID-19, help each and every one of us know that you are taking care of us and watching over us. And as we remember the names of our dearly departed this year, help us to remember that they are already in your heavenly kingdom, that they know what the smile of God looks like, that they have been invited to the greatest banquet we can ever be invited to. So help us to remember that heaven is not an unattainable place, but it is the greatest family reunion that we will ever know. So thank you for laying your life down at the cross so we can have an invitation to sit next to you in your heavenly throne. In your blessed and gracious name we pray. Amen. In our offerings at this time, we want to continue to thank people who continue to go to scmchurch.org and make online donations, and people who've been dropping off checks at the church. I also want to make special mention this week for Easter. For the first time in a long time, we're actually able to do a second mile offering. So there's a little Easter basket in the back that says second mile on it. And this month, we are sending those donations to Noah's Hope. I don't know if you follow them on Facebook, but they are selling yard signs for child abuse advocacy this month. And you can get those signs for $20 as a show of support for Noah's Hope and the wonderful ministry that they do. So we're hoping to get a few of those yard signs and that we can sell a few more here and give that all those proceeds back to Noah's Hope. So if you feel generously led to support that ministry today, we greatly appreciate it. But let us now present our tithes, our gifts, and our offerings to God. And I ask you to please rise as we join together in the offertory hymn.
Blessed Savior, we are humbled and inspired by the gift of your redeeming love. Help us to give of ourselves for the benefit of building your kingdom. May it remind us of the miraculous redemption you won for each and every one of us. Amen.
You may be seated. At this time, we turn our attention to our children's chat. Children are allowed to remain seated, and since it is the first Sunday of the month, those of you kids that brought your toy or your object, you're welcome to bring it up at this point and show it to me what you got. And this month, for those of you that aren't familiar with our children's chat on the first Sunday of the month, we put our children's chat entirely together based on the objects that the kids bring us, and they try to keep me on my toes. So we'll see if we can work a little Easter magic here today. Well, remember, Pastor Ben is very tired because he got up much earlier today than he normally does. So his creativity may not be as good as it usually is.
Excuses.
The Lord is risen indeed. All right, kids, so you can stand up. Let me see your objects. Let's see what you got. All right, so Rylan's got Wolverine. Paige has got, Aubrey's got her cheerleading Barbie. Colton's got a marker over there. Tyler, you got anything? Is that a little fuzzy ball right there? A little stress reliever right there. And then Paige has got, SpongeBob Easter Bunny. I hope my bishops are not watching right there as I bring about SpongeBob Easter. And a hammer. All right. So let's start with the hammer, because we started this Holy Week, the middle of Holy Week, we started with the crucifixion and death of Jesus. So the hammer can signify a lot of difficulties that Jesus faced this week, and he took on that burden for each and every one of us. But out of that pain and suffering that Jesus experienced, he experienced a transformation for us. Different, but kind of similar in some ways to Mr. Wolverine in the back, that Rylan has his little toy back there. Wolverine underwent a transformation where he was a similar person, but he came out of a difficult experience with his claws as a hero to many people. But the only difference, well, the big difference between Jesus and Wolverine is that Jesus became a hero for everyone. But what made him a hero was not that he beat everyone up, it was that he was willing to lay down his life for people. And that is something we can write about, as Colton shares it. It is something, Tyler, when I'm dealing with the stress of Holy Week and a lot of services, and I'm using that ball to keep myself relaxed, it is something that provides me with comfort. Because I know that no matter if I have a perfect Holy Week or a difficult Holy Week, that I know that the Lord is risen. The Lord is risen indeed. And that is something that I can have complete and total confidence. And I can cheer about it, just like Aubrey's Barbie back there. And I can be excited, and I can be the greatest cheerleader for the gospel. And I can even go down to the depths of Bikini Bottom to share the gospel of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Because we remember, he went all the way from the pits of difficulty to all the way to the highest heaven. So that is why even SpongeBob gets to celebrate Easter. And yes, I found a way to weave that in there. Does anybody else have anything they want to throw their way right now? But when we celebrate Easter, it's about connecting all those dots. Because guess what, kids? Easter is personal. And that's the biggest thing I want you to remember today, is yes, we pat Jesus on the back for the most amazing miracle that ever happened, but he performed that miracle for us. And that should touch us in our hearts, no matter who we are, no matter how rich we are, how tall we are, how short we are. All of us get the same gift of God's love. And we can truly celebrate that Easter with so much joy and enthusiasm in our hearts. Let us pray. Gracious God, we come before you and we just want to say thank you for our kids. Thank you for the honest truth of resurrection hope that you place on their hearts. Thank you for all the joy and laughter and especially the good questions they give us. Because they remind us that we need to think about the wonderful gift that God has given it. Whether we're thinking about a hammer, when we're thinking about cheerleading, when we're thinking about relieving a stress, or whether we're in our highest mountain or our lowest point, we know that the Lord is risen. So help each and every one of us feel it, believe it, and pray it every single day. In your blessed and gracious name we pray. Amen. Now let us turn our time and our attention to our message today. Give me just 1 second to transition here. So I want to start our discussion about this Easter text that we know so well. Look, digging into one very important scripture verse, and Jean Ann read it for us in verse 8. So they went out and fled from the tomb. For terror and amazement had seized them, and they said nothing to anyone. For they were afraid. They were afraid. Not exactly the Bible verse you want to put on your Easter card to your friends and family. They were afraid. They were scared. They were terrified. But you know something? I love this ending of Mark because it is honest, it is messy, and it is profound. There is no Hallmark ending in Mark that ties the pieces of the resurrection story in a beautiful bow and it places it together and everything makes sense. The resurrection is a messy event because life is messy. And the disciples, turns out, are human, and they are scared out of their minds and paralyzed by the message they just received, that the Lord is not there. He's not in his tomb. So what happened? It is up to them to make sense of the moment. And if you study your biblical history, you would know that Mark is actually the oldest gospel account that we have. So the first readers, the very first readers of the gospel story would have heard this account that you just heard ending at verse 8. In fact, endings you see written in your Bible after this passage are attempts by later authors to deliver that neat bow and magical happy ending that we so desire. But Mark did not want to do that. He wants us to struggle and wrestle with what exactly a risen Savior means to us and to the world. Think about it. How does a risen Savior really change your life? How does it change your outlook of how you view the world? Mark wasn't going to spoon feed you that. He wanted you to really think about it. Because Mark is an excellent journalist. He presents all the facts to the resurrection story, Jesus being crucified, Jesus being rising from the tomb, and he leaves it up to you, his audience, to decide what to do with it. So brothers and sisters, how is Easter going to impact you this year? Are we going to go through the motions, or are we truly going to take a risk and let the love of a risen Savior truly transform our hearts and our lives? The choice is ours. The choice is always ours. So this year, more than ever, we need to choose to be Easter people. We need to consciously be willing to see the miracles of God when others around us only see pits of darkness and despair. A wise author once said, "There are only two ways to live your life. One is as though nothing is a miracle. The other is as though everything is a miracle." So let us be the Easter people that choose to see everything as a miracle, to see the miracles around us and the good and the growing hope around us. And one of my grandmothers used to say that the easiest and biggest waste of time that a human being can do with their, or use their time, is to waste it by complaining, by groaning, by spending their whole time talking about what they can't do, what they won't do, what they are unable to do. And I think I'm a little fortunate that Grandma passed away before this thing called Facebook was invented, because I don't think Grandma would have been a huge fan of social media as well. But I think she had an important lesson. Because there's only one thing, if you think about it, one thing that human beings on this planet have complete autonomy and control over. One thing. And you know what that is? It's our response. Our ability to respond to things. Because none of us get to decide always what happens to us. But we always get to choose how we respond to certain circumstances that are presented to us. And we have the ability to choose between a response of joy and hope or a response of despair. What will we decide? What will we decide? One of my favorite authors, G.K. Chesterton, said, "I don't deny there should be priests to remind men that they will one day die. I only say it is necessary to have another kind of priest, called poets, actually to remind men that they are not dead yet." To remind men that they are not dead yet. And what Chesterton is saying is that Easter people, Christians are called to be poets, to breathe life and resurrection hope in the world. Be that person. Be that person that somebody texts because they need to feel uplifted. They need to feel better about their day. Be that person in your workplace that if somebody is having a terrible day, they make a beeline to you because you know that you are going to say something hopeful, joyful, or inspiring. And it doesn't have to be a theological degree. It just has to be something that shows that you care. And so that means when we have the opportunity to gather with our families for wonderful family gatherings, and you hear that one person who starts complaining, you know that everybody's got that one family where that one person just likes to dig deeper into the negative. And they say, when are things ever going to be normal again? When are things ever going to be back to the way they were? When is it going to be normal? When that person asks that loaded question, I want you to be the person that mentions the beautiful, the wonderful, the joyful, the inspiring things that are happening around you. And talk about how today, isn't it great to walk by the park on a beautiful day like today where it's 60 degrees and the sunshine is flowing and you can see recently vaccinated grandparents able to push their young grandchildren gleefully on the swing again when that seemed like we never even knew when that was going to be a possibility. Be the one that mentions how wonderful it is to turn on the TV on an April night. And even though it is snowing completely in Detroit, Michigan, because they decided to open up opening day there, and the baseball players are freezing their little butts off, but you get to see a baseball game. You get to hear the roar of the crowd. It's not an electronic thing that comes from MLB.com. It is real human beings celebrating and being happy and just celebrating a wonderful day to be outside. And you can especially see it in the players at the baseball game. Because a year without fans, they see just how lucky they are to play in front of such a large group of people, that people just sit there and watch them play a game. It has brought back the children to a game that I love dearly. Be that person with that inspiration. Breathe out hope into our world. When others around you only choose to breathe in negativity and despair, breathe hope. Because Jesus died on the cross to breathe new life and unshakable hope into our world. And it's actually a pet peeve of mine when I hear people say, Jesus was born to die. And their hearts are in a good place when they say that, but it is only true if the story ends on the cross on Good Friday. Because what happened after Jesus died is Jesus walked out of that empty tomb to prove he was born to live. He was born to live for each and every one of us. And that means Jesus was born to live and enjoy life, and so should we. We should also be people who are full of resurrection hope and new life. So furthermore, when you hear people complaining this Easter about, I want that normal Easter back, things the way they were, patiently and kindly remind them that there is no such thing as a normal Easter. Because there was nothing normal about that first Easter morning when Jesus defeated death and walked out of that tomb. 2 days after hundreds of witnesses declared him dead. The stone rolled away. There's nothing normal about that. The tomb, the grave of Jesus was empty. There was nothing normal about that. And you can tell by the fear and amazement and shudder, utter just not knowing what's going on, the disciples experienced nothing normal that day. We celebrate Easter because it is incredibly abnormal. And normal is the last word you would have heard used to describe Easter that morning. Because Easter is a celebration that God can find the normal in our lives and transcend it with the miraculous, with the wonderful, with the beautiful. In fact, you remember some of our first Moravian Church Without Walls service. We heard from Reverend Dion Christopher in Florida, who said that during one of our first Moravian Church Without Walls service, he said that my new normal is to bless the Lord at all times. That quote still sticks to me. That my new normal is to bless the Lord at all times. Brothers and sisters, the old normal died. The very second the world realized that our Savior rose from the grave. There's no going back after that. There's no going back to the way it was. And we should realize that, and we should be grateful for the new normal that we have been given purely by God's grace, and nothing of our own doing or our own accomplishments or anything we are responsible for. It is 100% a gift of God's grace. So let us praise God for a miraculous and transformed existence that each of us have been given. Let us, as Easter people, keep looking for ways to bless the Lord at all times. Let's keep breathing hope and love into a world that always needs it. Be that person that breathes hopes and love to your friends, to your families, to your co-workers. Remind people the Lord is risen indeed. Not the Lord was risen, but the Lord is risen. Keep God's hope, keep God's love in the active and present tense. Because that's where hope needs to be. It needs to be with us today, now, and forevermore. Amen. Let's pray. Gracious God, we come before you, and I just want to say thank you for the people gathered here, for taking time out of their day to celebrate and praise the risen Savior. Help each of us take some time today to just reflect on the beauty of this miracle, to remember that nothing was normal that Easter morning. Nothing was the way it was supposed to be. And that is why we have a Savior, because he did things not the way we wanted it to be done, but the way we needed it to be done, by laying down his life for each and every one of us. We have been invited to a gift of resurrection hope. We can know the joy and the hope that inspires us each and every day. So help us to be the Easter people that you call us to be. In your blessed and gracious name we pray. Amen. At this time, I'm actually going to ask you to please stand as we hear from our cantors in our Moravian National Anthem, Sing Hallelujah, Praise the Lord.
Sing, O Mary, praise the Lord. Sing, O
with you our words of benediction and we complete our service, I just want to give a big thank you to all of you who purchased some Easter lilies. You have the opportunity to grab those after the service. And if any want a picture by the cross as well, you're welcome to do that. We just ask that you don't congest this area too much. May the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. In the name of Jesus, amen. You may be seated. We want to thank all of our online worshipers for gathering with us as well, and wish everyone a blessed and wonderful Easter. At this time, I will now start dismissing families to leave. But if you need to get up to get your flowers or anything, you're welcome to do so as well.
How about this? How about we'll put the flowers on the rail, and then for anybody who wants to take a picture, you just stay seated, and then one family at a time can show up.
All right, that's why my wife comes up with a better plan. So we'll put your flowers, well, what if they want their picture? We'll come up with a way to do that. But we'll make sure we'll have you taken care of. At this time, the Swallow family, you may go ahead. Castor family, go ahead. Weston, go ahead. Martha as well. If you need to get your flowers, you come too as well. We'll start moving those up. Dave, go ahead. Leslie, Carter, Colton, go ahead. Abby Houston.